Hello and a warm welcome to Talking Tourism, the podcast series especially for tourism operators and industry professionals. My name's Rachel Williams and I am your host for today's episode. Talking Tourism is an initiative of Tourism Industry Council Tasmania, the peak industry body for the tourism industry in this beautiful state of Tasmania. If you're a regular listener to Talking Tourism, welcome back. Great to have you back on board. And if you're a first-time listener and enjoy today's episode, we'd love you to remember that you can access more than 100 episodes of Talking Tourism Conversations, and they're available from wherever you access your podcasts, or you can simply stream them on the TICT website. We're recording this podcast today on the lands of the Palawa and Pakana, and TICT offers its respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal people, their elders past and present, for their enduring care and management of these islands. Today's episode is brought to you by our partner, the Department of State Growth. The Department of State Growth brings together four interrelated divisions developing a strategic approach that drives economic growth and supports the community, industry and business in the creation of jobs and opportunities for Tasmanians. So a big thank you to the Department of State Growth for their generous support of TICT and for helping to make this episode of Talking Tourism possible. Now let's get into today's conversation with Rachel Downey, Business Success Mentor at Rachel Downey. So it's the Rachel Show today. This Rachel works with a variety of individuals, businesses and CEOs both locally and internationally. For the past decade, she's worked with government, corporate teams and individuals, helping them to educate and set goals to make lasting changes, creating the results that they want. Rachel began her career as a teacher with a background in agriculture and hospitality and branched out into consultancy and leadership. So a big welcome to Talking Tourism, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
We're going to get started, I should say, because we're going to talk a lot about mindset today, and that's sort of a lot of the work that you do in your great sphere of, of different work you do. I suppose most of us are reasonably comfortable with the concept of mindset being pretty critical to what our personal lives look like, but I'm assuming you're going to give us some insights into how important it actually is in our professional lives as well.
Absolutely. Well, I suppose for myself, one of the key things that I didn't really understand what was under the bonnet of my mind and trying to work out what created success and what created, you know, the self-sabotage for people really started with my own learnings and my own shifts of having my own business and feeling like I was, you know, knocking my head up against a brick wall, feeling very frustrated and didn't seem to matter how much time, money or effort that I put in, my results didn't change. So I thought there has to be something different. And so when I came across this information about mindset, I truly believe that it's 95% mindset, 5% strategy.
Okay, so what define for me mindset?
So mindset is really having an understanding of your habits, beliefs and behaviours that I call come under the word paradigm, what your paradigms are. Those habits, beliefs and behaviours come from your parents, their parents and their parents or environmentally what you've been exposed in. So as I say, you can have successful paradigms and you can have ones that have self, you know, that create sabotage. So in the sense of particularly around time, money, your productivity, you know, one of the questions I always ask is, you know, does anybody procrastinate? And, you know, the hands go up all the time within business and it's looking at, well, why do I avoid doing those things? And then understanding fear, how that impacts what you do and what you don't do.
Do many people have a different mindset when it comes to their personal life, private life versus their public life and their business life?
It's a really good question, but the reality is how you do one thing is how you do everything. So you as the person are what shows up professionally. So if you lack confidence in your personal life, it's pretty much showing up in your professional life as well. And so it's really creating that awareness and tweaks about where that happens for yourself so that you can make the changes.
So that establishment of the paradigm that you've just mentioned, like generationally developed, that's putting a lot of pressure on the individual who have got all these, you know, external forces at play.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for myself and my husband, you know, with an intergenerational farm, you know, from that farming mindset, you know, we've got to work really hard. there's never enough time, there's never enough money. And that was certainly what we were rolling out. You know, I sort of tell people I'm a reformed workaholic, control freak and perfectionist. These were all habits and beliefs of mine of driving me and how I was doing things. So intergenerationally, it's just becoming aware. These beliefs have been passed on, these habits have been passed on, but are they things that I want to keep? Are they serving me? And if they're not, we can create a shift.
Are they always really easy to see?
Well, that's what I suppose I'm trained in doing. So I can sit with a person and ask them where they are, where they want to be, and what do they feel is holding them back. And very quickly, I can identify where those limitations are.
Is it something that people can do internally by themselves, or is it nice to have that?
Well, I certainly couldn't, and I was looking for the magic wand for a number of years. I've always had a mentor and a coach in my business over the last 16 years, and it was only until I came across this information that I went, oh my goodness, there's nothing wrong with me. It's just these beliefs that are stopping me and limiting, and the awareness of, you know, I can work with an incredibly successful entrepreneur who perhaps failed through school and they're, you know, creating amazing businesses on a global scale, and they're not actually very confident because they didn't succeed at school.
Yeah.
And so then they second guess themselves. And I say, well, hang on a minute. People are actually paying me to think like you because you think the way your mind has been designed. It's just that, you know, with my teaching background, not once in those 15 years did I teach an individual student how to use their mind. In my 21 years of education, I wasn't taught how to use my mind. And every single day over the last 6 to 7 years, I've been teaching people how to use their mind the way it's designed to. And when you work with businesses, they are using their mind because they've had an idea of what they want to create, and they see that as a picture in their mind, and then they head out with desire of, I've got to do this.
So do you now have like a morning mantra that changes every day that you read, like an Insta inspirational quote? Is your
Absolutely.
Room full of, you
yeah.
can do it, be positive, all yeah. those sorts
so
of things?
So one of the key things I learnt was through the use of affirmations, if you don't mix them with feeling, it's a complete waste of time. So the one for me, because I was always so busy and an absolute action-taking, doing person, I changed to that I'm calm and relaxed and I have all the time I need. Now, when I rolled this out to a leadership group of engineers, they all laughed at me. And I said, well, we're going to try it out. And the shift was profound just by changing that command, but also being calm. When we're busy and we're operating from adrenaline and that, you know, that rush, we're coming from a place where our body's clenched, we're clenched, and we're not actually coming from a place where our mind can efficiently work, where when we're relaxed, we can think. And most people haven't been taught how to think.
So how long does it take to retrain the brain?
It's a really good question, Rachel, because for me, some of it shifted very quickly and others took a long time because I don't know how long that conditioning's been in place generationally, as well as, you know, if I look at, you know, say a lack of confidence or a lack of self-worth or a lack of belief, you know, and some people can just have it. So it does depend. It's a little bit of how long's a piece of string.
And I suppose too, you take certain different components
yes.
out of your paternal side and maternal
Absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely.
And hopefully for me, you pick the best bits.
Yes. Well, that's true. But it's also about looking out and seeing people that, you know, that you admire who have got qualities that you go, well, that's how I want to be. And then you can bring that in to what you're doing.
Okay. So let's explain then how all of this really great mindset development personally can impact professionally. And I want to really focus on tourism because obviously it's a tourism podcast, but a lot of people want to move forward with their businesses and perhaps are a little bit reluctant to make the first move because they're not experienced in it. It sounds like a little bit of a confrontational
yes.
thing to look in internally and try to start making changes. Are there common factors that tend to hold people back from moving forward in their businesses when it comes to mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the key ones are around time and money. You know, working with a lot of people in this industry, say the hospitality and the tourism industry, they are doing so much work and they are, you know, running around the clock, many of them, and they're running a number of enterprise businesses. You know, it's not just the one for some of them. And also it's a matter of them doing it themselves. So it's learning that we all have 24 hours in a day. It's not how we manage the time. We can't manage time, but we can manage those activities. So in working with them, I help them look at what's closing what they know is their knowing-doing gap. It's how to help them become more productive and efficient because they know that there's things they need to be doing and they're not doing them. So we tighten up procrastination and we identify what those habits are around procrastination, and then we create a new model for them moving forward so that they are, you know, it's almost like they've got, you know, I work less and I earn more kind of thing. So they're adapting that. So one of my clients who was in a tourism business on the West Coast, you know, when I first started speaking with her, she said, I'd just love to be able to have coffee, you know, with a friend occasionally. I don't have any time to do that. So one of the things we looked at was what could you delegate in your business? And it was like, well, I can't. I have to do it all myself. So then it was changing the mindset around it being okay to delegate and not having to do it, because it all came down to it wasn't okay to ask for help when it came down to what the key mindset piece was.
And I think I'm just going to bring in the word culture here, because I think in a business, you know, you tend, success breeds success. You tend to gravitate towards positive people if you're a positive person. Is that something that you see in businesses, that if the leader of the organisation has a good and healthy mindset, and I think that's important, like it's got the balance right, does that flow through, do you think, to the staff?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you're the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. And most of us want to be spending time with people who are upbeat and inspiring. It's the energy that you want to be in. And then when you are like that as a leader, then because it's transferring out, your staff are willing. They want to contribute because they want to be part of what you've got. But the key thing for somebody like that is that it's not just them bringing the energy all the time, that they teach their staff or their leadership team how to be able to do that themselves by tapping into their potential rather than just relying on that key stakeholder.
Yeah, and I think too, a lot of these businesses, as we've mentioned, they're small businesses. They do all think that they have to do everything themselves, and, you know, we're generalising here, but perhaps, you know, working in the business rather than on.
Absolutely, and that's the key thing. So it's working out what is the stuff that is the working in the business. So the example I give, having coming from the farming background, is say the $25 an hour jobs, and I'd find my husband out there on the $25 an hour jobs fencing. I goes, it's a waste of your time. Oh, but I like fencing.
No one's going to argue with me out here.
I've got some time to myself. But the other of what he did exceptionally well was the big picture, the vision, which, you know, for me, I label as the $1,000 an hour job. Nobody else could do that, what he did. And so it's identifying where is it for you, the working on the business, where that's you. You're the person that's bringing that vision, the ideas, the energy. And then for the other, what is it that you're willing to release and let go of as working in the business? It doesn't mean that you have to give it up, but just be consciously aware of where you get caught up doing things that you don't need to be doing.
So are you allowed to share a story of someone that you've really helped?
Yeah, well, I think the key for the working on the business and working in the business, a great example I can give you is a childcare business where the owner was doing the bookkeeping. Now, it took her nine hours a week to do her bookkeeping. It was something that she would avoid doing, she procrastinate on, and, you know, we talked about, is this something that you love doing? Do you want to do this? Well, not really. Let's delegate it. And so what it did was brought a bookkeeper in. It took them 3 hours to do the bookwork. She was freed up to do what she did really well, which was training staff and getting systems in place. And it ended up saving the business $34,000 for the year, because she wasn't, if we valued her time on the floor doing that 9 hours, it wasn't a productive 9 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's identifying for yourself what are you willing to let go of that you really don't enjoy and you're wasting a lot of time doing it.
And at the end of the day, businesses inherently worry about the bottom line. I suppose they're probably not very good businesses if they don't, to an extent. Yeah. What can be done to identify ways to improve the bottom line via that connection to mindset?
So it's focusing on what you want rather than what you don't want. So in the mindset of when we're looking at the lack, the limitations, the what's all going wrong, we can very easily get caught up in that versus, hang on a minute, what is it that I want? I would like more profit to come through. I would like this. I would like that. And being very solution orientated, because whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And it's just learning how to shift that focus for yourself.
Did that take you a while to do when you mentioned before that You had to flick the switch?
Absolutely, because I was very stuck in my intellectual part of my mind. I'd been conditioned, it was all about knowledge, and I hadn't worked out how to transfer that out with the feeling and the confidence, et cetera, et cetera. I was willing to go and do things, but it was more intellectual than really getting in alignment with myself, if that makes sense. I'm hoping I'm transferring that through okay.
So when, you know, you achieve something with one of your clients that you're working with and they're able to identify ways to increase their productivity and efficiency and inevitably their profitability of their business, what do you do with them and how do you talk through the process of encouraging them to work through towards these outcomes and then maintain them?
Yeah, so the key thing is in understanding that there is something called the snapback effect. We are creatures of habit as human beings. We do like to go, you know, back to our old way of doing things. And so it is keeping it at the forefront of your mind of what is the habit that you're working on. So in today's presentation, I identified, you know, and asking people to work out what was they were standing in their way, what were one or two key habits that they could use moving forward until you create, the science backed up by this is with Dr. Joe Dispenza, you're creating a new neural pathway in your brain. So the habit has to actually sort of, you know, as I said, you said, how long is it? Well, until that becomes your new habit. So I asked people this morning in the presentation to, you know, fold their arms and then fold them the other way. Well,
you can't.
You can.
It doesn't feel right.
But it
though,
doesn't feel right. And we want to go back to our old way of doing things. So for you to be able to make changes, there is going to be discomfort. And most of us don't want to feel uncomfortable. But the key is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Be disruptive and do things that you wouldn't normally do.
Which is what a lot of businesses have had to actually do over the last 2 years. And I think that's a fear. A lot of people are saying, oh, we can't go back to the way it used to be. A lot of people want it to go back to the way it used to be. But inevitably it probably can't, can it?
No. And this to me is part of the working on the business where you take some time out, where you schedule it in your calendar for thinking time so that you've got a clear plan of where you're going. Because otherwise it's like being in a car park going round and round and round and not being able to find the exit. And we keep doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result. Albert Einstein's definition of insanity. Yeah. And the thing is we can continue to do that. Even though we've made a shift, say 2 years down the track, this can then become our norm. So it could have been the car park from, you know, 2 years ago to the car park of now versus we want to continue to grow and expand. And that's going to, you know, if you're getting uncomfortable, know that there's growth occurring.
And is that something that people can work through and do themselves, or do they need to be told to do that?
Well, what I've found is that usually the only way you can change your paradigms, your habits, beliefs and behaviours is generally through something, an emotional impact, generally negative, whether it's the loss of a relationship, the death in the family, a health scare, or it's through the coaching and mentoring of getting someone to help you, hold you by the hand and help you know, you to be accountable to the shifts that you're wanting to occur.
That must be quite confronting at times for some people, I'm assuming.
Absolutely, but they're creating that awareness for themselves. So like I say to people, this is not rocket science. It's fairly simple, it's fairly easy, but it's not easy to do because we're conditioned to keep doing things the way we've been doing them.
Absolutely. And so you must be working with some interesting clients right around.
Yeah.
Are there different problems with mindsets in different areas?
Well, it's really I share a list up on my presentations to show, you know, I've worked with people from real estate agents to tattoo artists to funeral care to graphic designers, leadership teams. They've all got one thing in common. Nobody's taught them how to use their mind the way it was designed to be used. So it's all very common theme. So that's what I'm saying, it doesn't matter what the industry.
So given your former career as a teacher, is that some feedback you've given to the teaching faculty?
Absolutely, because in a schooling environment, the potential's actually already within the person and it's a matter of us drawing that out, but we still have a perception that we have to gather all of this knowledge. Now, many of us, we gather the knowledge, we spit it back out and then we get assessed on how well we spit it back out. And many of us then form the concept of ourselves as where we fit in when we compare and look at, you know, how well we've done, when that actually doesn't define who you are from the inside out.
So what would your advice be, your parting advice to people who are running their own business in the tourism sphere around the state or around the country listening to this podcast about that mindset and the being the culture of a business and having that in a developed and strategic way for everyone to undertake that growth of mindset?
I think I'd really concentrate on the three Ds. Do what you love, do what you're good at, and identify what those strengths are for yourself and for those that are in your leadership management, you know, team. Delegate the things that you know you don't do well and you procrastinate on and that you're wasting time on so that somebody else can come in and do a better job and relieve you of doing that. Ask for help. We are all in business, you know, for ourselves and for the others around us, but it's actually being able to ask for help that I find is probably one of the biggest limitations, and that's crossing personally or professionally, because for some reason we've been taught we have to do it on our own. Become aware of your fears and the fears of the staff that you have around you. You know, if we come down to any reason why you're not doing something, it is to do with a fear. And we're only born with two fears, fear of loud noises and the fear of being dropped. Every other single fear is man-made. So is it the fear of, you know, when you're having meetings that people don't contribute, lots is being left under the table because they're fearful of what other people might say or what will people think, or, you know, fear of me letting people down. Just when you identify that and turn towards the fear, it will dissipate and you can name it up.
And is that something that you recommend businesses do as, you know, an individual process with everyone doing it individually, or something that they look to do at in a group setting?
Look, I think both is great. Because, you know, it becomes something that you become very aware of. And so when somebody shares and contributes, and it can be an aha moment for somebody else who's involved in it. So I really feel like, you know, it's like the sandbags that are on a hot air balloon. If we look at the limitations of a sandbag for each individual person, and, you know, you've got a team and you start to release those sandbags, very quickly that balloon is going to gather momentum and, you know, increase in productivity and the efficiency and the profits, you know, like your business. So having that awareness as to people's individual limitations, how it then contributes as the team limitations and the business limitations to what can we do to be able to move us from here to there.
Absolutely. Look, I think that's just such an amazing 20 minutes of conversation that we've had around mindset. I'm certainly walking away feeling a little bit more positive and optimistic. Yeah, so thank you so much, Rachel. It's been really lovely. But now we do need to finish with the most important part, the big seven. Are you prepared?
I'm ready as I can be.
Okay, so favourite spot in Tasmania and why?
My absolute favourite spot is at our home, at our farm. We overlook about 3 kilometres of the Derwent River and I absolutely love it. We go camping a couple of times a year in a certain spot down there and I just think it's pure magic.
Oh, the change of seasons down there is beautiful, isn't it? Absolutely. Okay, favourite travel destination anywhere in the world?
Mine would have to be in Italy, but I don't know, I went to the Whitsundays recently and that's going to have to take a pretty steep's close second.
Sounds perfect. Someone's coming to Tasmania for the very first time in their lives and ask you what's the one thing they absolutely must experience while they're here. What do you tell them?
Look, my go-to is fresh and I love it up there. I love the beaches, but, you know, I could easily say Blackmans Bay Beach because it's beautiful as well, but just in the sense of a destination that I know that they can experience lots of local produce along the way and that they can come up through the East Coast, go back through, you know, another. I think it's a great exposure to Tassie.
Absolutely. You're walking the overland track for 5 days with 3 other people. Anyone in the world, famous, not so famous, living or dead? Who and why?
I actually thought this question was really good. This morning I thought about it and my mentor who passed away earlier this year was Bob Proctor. I would have him from the mindset piece of 60 years of experience of working in the industry. I listened to the documentary on Bill Gates on the way up. I think having him and his impact in the world of working out from Bob, how they could do it from a mindset point of view, the money and the backing, and then I would have Paul Gilding, who's a Tasmanian, who works as an activist for sustainability, advising companies around the world how to be, you know, their environmental impact. I think the 3 of them, I think it would be some magic that would occur on the overland track.
Very interesting conversation. Yeah. Love to be a fly on the wall in the tents. You're road tripping around Tasmania. What are you listening to in the car? Obviously podcasts by the
sounds of things. I was just about to say, yeah. So if it's me in the car on my own, it'll be audiobooks or podcasts or some of the lessons that I deliver. And if I've got kids in the car, it's going to be some doof doof music and stuff. And then if it's me, sometimes it'll just be a varied selection.
So can I ask you about the music? Is that a mindset thing as well? Like the music you listen to determines your attitude and the way you feel?
Absolutely. Because it's music is creates energy. It shifts how you feel. So it's listening to something that you know, if you want to, that brings you up.
Yeah. So the doof doof, not so much.
I don't mind a bit of doof doof, actually.
You are surprising me, Rachel. That is hilarious. Okay, so when you've arrived at your destination with your doof doof going,
yeah,
what's your tipple of choice?
Some clients of mine, the Bridport Distilling Company, and having had their special edition scallop gin, it would be that from now on in. It was phenomenal.
Launched at the Tasmanian Scallop Fiesta recently. Amazing.
It is sensational.
I'm looking forward to trying. I love their new distillery. Isn't it amazing?
Yes, it is.
And the last big one, which you've talked about, scallops. So obviously you're partial to a scallop. but the big debate, curried Tasmanian scallops, culinary delight or culinary crime?
Look, I think it'd go for a delight, but I can't say I've had it for a very long time.
You'll just take the scallop gin and just leave the actual protein.
Yep. Sounds good
to me. That's hilarious. Oh, look, thank you so much, Rachel. It's been an absolute privilege talking to you. Where can people get just a couple of quick mindset coaching podcasts or something like that they can listen to?
Yeah, look, you can actually, from a listening point of view, you can just get, I've got my audio book that I've got on my website as well, but you can just look them up. There's so many of them on Spotify or you know, anything at that point of view. It's just basically what is the thing that you want, and you can Google it and off you go.
Off you go.
Very accessible.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, and thank you all for listening to today's episode of Talking Tourism. Do remember to subscribe to hear more episodes as we release them every 2 weeks or so. Also, remember to tell a friend or tourism colleague to check out our podcasts. Talking Tourism is an initiative of Tourism Industry Council Tasmania, and today's episode was brought to you with the support of our partner, the Department of State Growth. A big thanks also to Caleb Miller at Mac40, our audio specialist who produces these episodes. I'm Rachel Williams, your host for today. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch up next time.